Good morning, Grace Church.
Morning.
I can't think of anything that's better than listening to little children sing praises to God. You know, that just light it up. That just lights up my world to see the love of Jesus poured out in these children and they're giving praise to God. That's just wonderful stuff. So I'm thankful for that. I'm also just want to acknowledge all those people that served with VBS this summer. I got to tell you, all week long, I've been watching people pour themselves out for the sake of Jesus and for the encouragement of children, the glory of God. They have given of their time, their treasure, and they have truly embodied our vision to take grace beyond the walls, here, near, and far, to take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who need to hear, which is all of us, gang, all of us. For the believer who has known Jesus all their life, we need to hear the gospel again and again and again, repeated to us, reminding us how much his love is. And for those who don't know Jesus, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ again and again and again, that they might realize that there is hope, and that there is the promise of forgiveness with God, and there is the promise of eternal life, an eternal life that'll never perish, it'll never spoil, it'll never fade, that is kept in heaven for us unto the day of redemption. It's guarded by the very power of God, the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Amen? That's good stuff. And even as we celebrated all week long, as Craig mentioned this morning, we also know that there were some believers who went home this week. And they are now praising God in heaven because by faith in Christ and Christ alone, they have received the promise that they have longed for so long. So we don't mourn like the rest of the world. Instead, we hold fast to the truth, we hold fast to the promises of God, and we are renewed. And the scripture has promised us, and in those times of mourning, for those who confess Christ Jesus and who have entered into his rest, for those of us who are behind them, who have not yet passed on, the word promises us that he will change our mourning into dancing, that he will be our comfort, he will be our strength. So we have so much to celebrate. Now, as I listen to that song, I've been listening to this song, This Little Light of Mine, all week long. Okay? It's a cute tune. I like the tune. But I've been listening to it all week long. And maybe that's a good thing, because as I've been thinking on those words, they are wicked. That's the Boston thing, right? They are wicked simple. Right? This little light of mine, what is that light? That light is the work of the Holy Spirit that indwells in us. That is the light that comes our way when we confess faith in Jesus Christ. The Spirit indwells in us. And it is this light that we are commanded in the Scripture to take and shine before the world, that they may see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. And there are a lot of different ways that we can carry out that task, a lot of different ways to carry out that mission. And this past summer, we've seen three ways that that's been done. We have sent a team to Dakar, Senegal, so they could be the light of Christ to folks in Dakar. And then we sent a teen trip over to Chicago that they might learn about new, different faiths, and that they might be encouraged to be people who speak the gospel of grace into folks' lives who are very different than us. And then we sent a teen from the church here, a teen went on a mission for a whole month. She went to learn leadership skills and the like. All of this is to equip us so that we might take the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ beyond these walls and into a dark world. So this morning, a couple of weeks ago, we heard from our Dakar team, but this morning we want to hear from our teens on that mission trip. So I'm going to invite them to come on up and get themselves all set up here. And while they're up here, they're going to be showing some slides up above that you can stare at if you'd like. And they're just different scenes from their trip. First of all,
Let me open with a word of prayer. Father, I'm so thankful to be among these young servants of Christ. What a joy it is to see people, young people, who have declared their faith in Jesus Christ and who have chosen to continue to expand that relationship, to continue to lean into you and allow you to guide them and direct them. And so, Father God, now as we take this time to hear from them and get just a little bit of an insight as to what they were doing and what kind of things they experienced, we pray, Father, that it'll give you praise and glory, and that it just might, through the power of your Spirit, inspire someone else to not only receive Jesus, but maybe to even follow him more closely. So we entrust our listening ears to your care and keeping, asking for the Spirit to draw us to that which the Spirit has for us this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All righty. Well, first, let's start with a general overview. So, Sammy, I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that month-long experience.
Yeah, so I was pretty much gone for the whole month of June, and my experience was definitely different from theirs. I was part of the mission leadership team, or mission leadership in training, and I was basically teaching high school groups like these. And I went to Chicago for a week and then Minneapolis for 3 weeks. So kind of the structure of our week would be every morning I would teach devos with my other MLT, and then we would make sure the youth leaders had the addresses to all the ministries we were going to, and our job was also to make sure that they got food and lunches and dinners provided, and as well, we would show them tools through Apex. So that's kind of the layout of our week and what we did.
All right, thank you. Gordon, can you give us an overview of just the larger team's week and what was about?
Well, I think the point was to go into the community in Chicago and learn about the other religions that people practice there. You know, learn how to interact with the people, care for them, minister for them, love them, and share the gospel with them if we could.
Okay. And what did that look like during the week? What kind of adventures were part of that?
We went to a bunch of religious temples. So we went to a mosque, which, for those of you who don't know, is where Muslims worship. We went to a gurdwara, where is the Sikhs worship. Went to a Hindu temple and went to a Baha'i temple, all to get that exposure to the different religions, the places of worship they have, just learn more about what they do.
So by going to some of these different places and exposing yourself to different belief systems and the like, what did you take away from that?
So I think from the whole week, I think a lot of us took away that like at home, we all know each other, and like we kind of just, like, especially in church, we're all Christians, we all know around the same thing. But when we were over in Chicago, the people that we talked with and the people that we interacted with didn't know what we knew, and they didn't know the gospel, and they didn't, and the people in the mosque, we talked to a guy that was very intelligent, but believed in Islam and was a Muslim. And I think just seeing people like that, where they're just so lost and straight away from God, I think it kind of, at least for me personally, it kind of pulled me into just how much I really care for people. Like, at home, I tend to just assume people know what I know, and assume people have heard what I've heard, and I just kind of leave it at that, and I don't interact with them for that reason.
So when your eyes are open to different ways people see the world, I'm wondering, does that leave you with a mark of any kind? What do you do with that?
I think going to those places, it just like opens your heart to see people and see them as a soul and not just a person that you can try to evangelize to, because evangelism is not a sales pitch. And I think if you let the Spirit work and let him use you, you can see people in a different way through that experience. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of risky to see people with the eyes of Christ, wouldn't you say? It risks, because when you see people through the eyes of Christ, you have to let go of yourself a little bit. You have to choose to kind of wade in and care for folks. So how is it you do that? How is it you wade in and care for others?
I think the way you should start caring about people is, instead of looking at them with like an agenda or like see them as what they worship, you have to see them as a person, their own person. They're not like anybody else. We're all original and unique. Mm-hmm. And so I think you have to first not have any like pretenses when you talk to them, and you just have to like get to know them so that you can like talk.
I think it kind of helps when you see people as people. And you recognize that these folks, all folks, are dearly loved by God. And then to have Christ's agenda. And what was Christ's agenda? Christ, we're told in the scripture, he desires that none should perish. He desires that all would come before him and yield their lives to him, that they might know eternal life. And so when we have that agenda in our mind, when we have that thought in our minds, not trying to win someone, not trying to give them a sales pitch, not trying to win the argument. If we see them with the eyes of Christ and we choose to respond to them as those that are loved by God and meet needs and care, it opens doors. It opens doors. So how did you end up? How did you end up actually practicing this reaching out beyond yourselves and trying to meet needs? How did that play itself out that week?
Speaking of opening doors, we went door to door in Chicago in a neighborhood with, I don't know how many like apartment houses were on the block, but we go to each apartment house. And my team was Robin and Cassie and I, and we would go, and Cassie would ring all the doorbells and knock on all the doors. And Robin and I were anxiously waiting for the doors to open. And I really liked that experience, because now, like, thinking of Chicago and our experiences, you can put faces to the experiences and you can now pray for those people. And
And one of the things, like, it was just a little survey that was put out by the church that's near on that street. And one of the things they were asking was, like, how can we help you? How can we support you? Like, do you need food? Do you need, like, clothes? Anything like that. And so I think it was important to start with loving our neighbor. And then, because it's not like we're like, oh, have you heard about Jesus? We're not, you know, like other, like Mormons or like other religions will do that, and they'll go door to door like that. We were trying to figure out like what they needed, mm-hmm. not trying to mm-hmm. like push something on them.
So one of the ways that you find that you get the opportunity to share the gospel is by creating relationships, by trying to and you create relationships by genuinely caring, by genuinely thinking of people as those who are beloved. What is that?
Yeah, there was like a little phrase they were talking about, and it was like, do you want someone to become a Christian because you love them, or do you love them because you want them to become a Christian? And if mm-hmm. you start with that latter one, then you're just like the Pharisees trying to like go over land and sea and win a single convert. And but we're supposed to want someone to become a Christian because we love them. We know, like, This has helped us in our lives, and we want to help you in your life, and this is going to help you.
So how do you acquire that passion? That passion to see people as God sees them, that passion to want them to know Jesus, but to want them to know Jesus so much that you are willing to pour yourself out for them on their behalf and to love on them. Where does that start? Evan, where does it start?
Well, I'll tell you where it starts. I think it started for us on this trip, where we're going into that environment that's completely different from ours, and then it was a little bit of a culture shock, and we get to take it all in and really, really see that there are people with needs, and we went into an environment where people, like a lot of people, don't know Jesus, and then it really, I think it gave us a heart for these people. And again, as some of you guys mentioned, seeing them as people.
I think you could take it a step back too and say, do I know Jesus and do I, mm-hmm. Have I experienced that? And so if you start there and then letting him work through you and then sharing your experiences and just, you know, starting with a foundation to go there.
Yeah, it seems like we don't have the natural bent to empty ourselves of ourselves. In fact, the scripture makes it pretty clear that we are sinful. That left to our natural desires, we will always push away from God. And we may do good things. We may not be as bad as, you know, we could be. But the truth is that we will never be able to do the things that are good, that God actually receives as good. So we need him to work in us in some way, to renew us in some way, that our good works might actually be used to bring him glory and praise. And it seems like the starting point for having the passion of God is having life with God, to be brought to life with God. And the way we do that is by repenting of our sins, reaching out and asking God for forgiveness, knowing that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he has promised that he, upon our profession of faith, he will enter into our lives. He will mark us with the promised Holy Spirit, and we will be his, and he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And when that happens, when we profess faith in Jesus, then the Spirit begins to transition our passions. He begins to give us the heart of Christ for the people around us. So you guys start with a profession of faith. You began your life in Christ with him, and now the Holy Spirit resides in you. So that Holy Spirit now within you, okay? So how is it then that you keep on mission? How is it that you continue to follow Jesus? What's that about? How does that work?
I think we had the whole group, we all went to Chicago for the same purpose. So I think because we were all there, we were all accountable to each other because, you know, maybe Lucas is over here and he's playing volleyball with these kids. And so that means me and Robin could need to go get pizza. Like we're all doing something to help these people. And it's like, you know, like the body of Christ, like one person's the feet, one person's the hands. Mm-hmm. We're all have a different role. And by being together and working together, I'm encouraged by everyone else to do what my role is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting picture of the body of Christ, that we're all given different gifts, and talents, and skills, and the like, and passions. And yet, as a church family, we are all fixed on the Great Commission and the Great Command, because we've all been called by the same Lord into the same process. So we're told to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And how do we love our neighbor best? By going and making disciples, right? What were you going to say?
I was going to add on to what Gordon was saying with how prayer is very important. Mm. It like helps regenerate the soul, and like it'll help achieve things. Like, because you can't do it on your own, you need God's help. So praying for that help will also help you continue to do God's work.
Yeah, that's a good point, Anna. That's a good point. So not only do we have to lean on one another as a part of the body of Christ, and we're all called to the same commission and the same command to go and make disciples, but along the way, we have to continually ask God to empower us. And we do that through prayer. You
want to say? Yeah. One thing that we practiced with our high school groups was walkie-talkies, it was called, and it was based on Genesis 3. So we would ask each other, where are you at right now? And like, what are you doing? And like, why? And we would just go on a walk with one other person, and we would just ask them, like, where are you at right now with God? And what are you feeling? And we would just keep each other accountable and just mm-hmm. be honest with each other and talk so that we could pray for each other and encourage each other. So mm-hmm. that's one thing that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, that's something that comes out of that sense of fellowship. When we have a common mission, common commission, and common command, then we all are called to
play our part in that role as we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And along the way, we need each other. We need to lean upon one another in difficult times to keep us on track, because quite frankly, we're prone to wander. We don't wander off. So we need one another to constantly remind us of what are we about? You know, why do we do what we do? What is there any other way we keep you keep empowered? You not empowered, but you keep fed, you keep on mission, keep moving forward.
I think it was like the whole week we were there was some sort of devo, like some Bible passage. So I think like learning about scripture, and you know, we memorized scripture like before the trip. That was also important, because it's very easy to learn about all these other things, kind of be fascinated by it and get distracted by it. But we had to be reminded through God's word that this is what we believed and why we were there. Mm-hmm. That was also a very good reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's the word, being in the word, and we remain in prayer, and we hide the word of God in our hearts that we might not sin against him. Scripture says, you know, we want to have the word in our minds so when we're out and about in the community, we know the word of God. And then we want to stay connected to the church. We want to stay connected, not to the church as an organization, but to the church as a living organism, a living work that God is doing in us to keep us on track. Because again, we will wander. Now, as you went through your week and you were in the Word and you spent time in prayer and you were introduced to some of these different ideas and the like, were there any circumstance, any event that kind of stood out for you in that whole time that kind of was a highlight for the week? Anybody?
So Jayla already started talking about this, but we went door to door with the church on Devon Avenue to go do a community survey of needs. And when we were doing that, Cassie, Jayla, and I, the first door that we got to, we waited, we were going to leave, but then a guy finally came up. We met a guy named Brent, and he was just clearly struggling. And so we immediately had a heart for this guy, and we could tell that he needed Jesus' love. And so we interacted with him. We talked with him for a good 15 minutes. And we ended up being able to pray over him. And that was just like, I didn't go into that activity expecting that to happen. And that was just like a huge God sighting, something that really stood out to me.
And what do you think it was that struck you about it?
I just, you know, being in New York, you don't really expect people to be nice. But everyone there was just really, not just Brent, but everyone there was so receptive. They would just talk to you. And I did not expect that. I thought we were going to go knock on doors, and they wouldn't answer. Pretty much every door we knocked on, almost everyone, they answered. And most of them, we got to talk with them, even if we didn't do the survey. But just the fact that this man was really struggling with a lot of things personally, and he was so willing to talk about it, and he was willing to talk with us, people he had never met before, who would come to ask him questions about what he needed, and he was just willing to talk with us and pray with us.
Was there any lesson you think you took from that? I mean, is there a greater lesson in that other than that we're all mean here?
I think again to see people as people, yeah, who are in need, who are broken. Not go into it with preconceived notions about them. Like, I went into it thinking, nobody's going to want to talk to us. Nobody's going to want to pray with us. And yet, first guy, he wants to pray with us. He wants to talk with us. He's struggling, but he's receptive.
Go ahead.
I think another thing that we took away was, like, people are just hurting. And I think it was easier for him to talk to us because he didn't know us than he could trust us. And there was no, like, obligation to think of what we're going to think of him, because we probably will never see him again, but we were able to pray with him. And I think it's just like a reminder that if you don't know how someone's going to receive it, and so you have to just knock on their door and ask them how they're doing, and they're probably going to tell you, and they're, you know, it's usually going to end well because they're people are just struggling and they just need that hope. And so you just never know unless you bring their doorbell 7 times.
So, 7 times? Is that the key? So what did you end up taking from that, though? Is there a greater lesson in that observation?
I think the gospel is for everyone, and people need it. And there's no greater thing that you can do. And then, what were you going to say?
I wasn't there, but I was just like hearing about the experience from them, like during the week. And I think it didn't really matter. Like, there were so many doors, but it was whatever the Holy Spirit was going to work in someone's life, that's what was going to happen. And it didn't matter if, like, what preparation we had, or like we didn't have to have like a whole like memorized like like if the Holy Spirit wanted us to talk to him or pray with him, or he was going to listen, that was all up to God, and it wasn't a burden we had to carry.
Yeah, it reminds me that it's God who does the calling to himself. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I had a really good experience too. Evan was there. We were with our MLT knocking on doors, and a lady thought she didn't speak English well, and she thought that we needed something, and she invited us in to have food and stuff. She thought that we were her kids.
Oh, yeah? And what did that leave you thinking?
I think she just heard the word help. We were asking if she needed help with anything, and she just opened her doors to us.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know what you remind me of in each of those little scenes? It is God who clearly is sovereign, and it is God who is at work drawing people to himself. The work of salvation is something that God does. We don't save anyone. We don't save anyone. We don't talk people into the kingdom of God. We can bring them the truth. We can share with them the truth of the scripture and the truth of the gospel, but we don't do the saving. But what we do bring to the table is that we have to be open to the Spirit of God working. We have to be willing to recognize and open to seeing how he's at work as he leads us in different circumstances, and then we have to step into the fray. We have to be willing to give a reason for our hope. And so often we're not, because we forget what the command is, and we forget what our commission is. And so we act as though we don't have a mission. And so we don't act on the mission because we forgot that we had a mission. But you guys, for a whole week, had that mission in front of you all the time. And so you were open. You could be open to the Spirit's leading and guiding. So all that said, we only have a couple more minutes. What's next? Do we leave the experience, the month's experience, do we leave it back over our shoulders? Do we take the week's experience and just say, wasn't that great? And then move on? What comes next?
I think it's important to remember that just because we're not on a missions trip and we're in our own communities, we can still go and make disciples. We can still shine Jesus light, you know, from VBS. And it's not being somewhere else that empowers us to do that. It's the Holy Spirit and God's working and people who can be receptive, and we can still share the gospel just being home, being here.
Anyone else? What's next?
I think one of the things we talked about, the debrief, was like, how did you get up every day and have this attitude of, you know, serving? And I think my mindset was, that's what we're there for, so it was easier, and we had like this accountability, and we had devotions every day. And so just because that's what we're there for, I think we need to have the mindset, that's what we're here for, that's what we're here at home for, is to be on mission. And we don't have to be in Chicago, but we need to have that mindset. And it's not just a mindset, I think it's giving your heart to the Lord in obedience, and he's going to work through that.
Yeah, just the month that I let God, like, I was like, God, you could do whatever you want to work through me, and kind of like yielding to God, that I really want to bring home. Because when I was back at home, I'd say that I trusted in God, yet I still did what I wanted to do, but not what God wanted for me. So I think that has really taught me to like just yield and like listen to what God wants in your life and don't be the one talking all the time.
Yeah, to have that mindset that we're not saved for our own purposes. We're not saved so we can be comfortable. We're not saved so that life will go our way and things will always, you know, everything will always turn out roses. We're not saved for that. We're saved to bring glory to God through our lives. And we're saved to be His ambassadors to a world around us that desperately needs to hear about the saving love of Jesus. But we forget that sometimes. We forget that sometimes. So how good it is to know that God loves us, He forgives us when we go astray, and how good it is to know that He is willing to work through imperfect people to carry out His perfect plans if we will yield to Him. He's already empowered us. He's already given us the mission. He's already given us His word. So we've got everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. We're not lacking anything other than the will to lean in and trust Him and obey. It was a joy to sit in on your debrief the other day. It is a joy to be allowed to talk with you this morning. And it is such an encouragement, at least to this man, it's an encouragement to see folks at the beginnings of their lives and who have set a course. I'm going to follow Jesus. The trajectory is going to be a good one as you focus on Jesus. Not meaning good like it's going to go your way, but good because He's going to continue to pour into you, and He's going to continue to show how high and wide and long and deep is His love for you. And you're going to find your love for Him grows as you lean into Him and you trust Him more. And you will find that His grace is sufficient and His power is made perfect in weakness. And that just excites me, especially because I'm at the other end of the scale, you know. And it's nice to see people making the decision now and moving forward. So you are blessed, Grace Church. You are blessed by this group. And so let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these students. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the grace and the mercy that is made new every morning. And we pray, Father, your abundant blessing on these students as they continue to fix their eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, knowing that what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. May they walk with you and talk with you and indulge themselves in your love, knowing that you desire to pour yourselves into them in ever-increasing ways. So we thank you for them. We ask for your protection over them, and we look forward to seeing how you're going to be at work. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, guys.